This morning we looked at the importance of serving God today, that it can be overwhelming to look in an entirety of life and thinking of all the progress that needs to be made in our lives. And if we just focus on serving God today, it can make it a lot more manageable. And this is something that, you know, Jesus points out to us, as we noted in our lessons prior in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34, that today is the day that we need to focus on. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble, its own service, its own work. And so as we focus on our lives on daily serving the Lord, then we can draw closer to Him. And that's what I want to look at a little bit more this evening, because it seems like, you know, we might have some good days and we have some bad days, and we'll take a step forward and then we take a few steps backwards. And this is the progress or lack of progress that we find in many different endeavors that we might be trying to do, whether it's trying to save money. We might save up a certain amount of money, then the car breaks down, and all that money that you saved up that you were hoping to use for something else, you have to use to fix the car. Or you lose weight and then, you know, life throws a bunch of curveballs at you, and you kind of just lose track of what you're doing, and you go back to your old habits. Or, you know, you make a move up in your career, and then the company shuts down, and you have to go and start back over at the bottom. We look at this life, and there's just so many times that, you know, we have these setbacks, and it just makes it difficult to keep going. But the thing we need to keep in mind is that a little progress is better than no progress. And I think too many times we think we have to reach this certain level real quickly, and we fail to realize the amount of steps those individuals took to do that. You think of those that are great song leaders, or when it comes to the worship services, great song leaders or preachers or teachers. They didn't wake up one morning and all of a sudden, you know, they knew every song in the songbook and they could lead them all effectively. They might have taken years of band or music theory. They may have studied and practiced these things over a long period of time. The same thing with preachers. You know, they don't just all of a sudden like get up there and have the ability to stand before a congregation and speak in the way that they need to speak and have this great knowledge of the Word of God. This is something that is developed a little bit at a time over the course of their lives. And the same thing is true with our lives as Christians. When you consider, you know, the setbacks in our spiritual lives, we're going to face spiritual setbacks. That's just a part of being a human being here on this earth, but we've always got to strive to move forward. The wise man records in Proverbs 24, there in verse 16, this is a favorite passage of mine because it's a reminder that no matter how many times I fall, the important thing is that I get back up. In Proverbs 24 and verse 16, it says, "The righteous falls seven times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in times of calamity." It's not how many times we fall, it's that we always get up at least one more time than the amount of times that we've fallen. No matter what we do, no matter how we're living, as long as we're getting back up and striving to serve the Lord, moving ahead, we're going to be making progress. And as Christians, we should always be striving for progress. In 1 Corinthians 15, there, verse 58, Paul tells the Christians there in Corinth that they're to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. That is, always increasing. Never content with the status quo. Always moving a step further along. The Apostle Paul, when writing to the young preacher Timothy, told him to take pains with these things, to be absorbed in them, that your progress would be evident to all. 1 Timothy 4, in verse 15. And all of this comes by just taking a step at a time. Again, we look at the goal of where we want to be, and it can be overwhelming. Austin has this goal in mind of this is what he wants to do in his life. And when I was his age, I didn't have a goal. I mentioned this morning at 16, 17, I didn't really have a goal. I didn't have any idea of what I wanted to do when I grew up and such. But Austin has this goal, and so I sat down with him. I'm like, look, all right, having that goal is great. Now, let's find some things that are going to help you to reach that goal. And then we'll take those and we'll break them down into smaller steps so that you can be taking regular steps. And all of them, you know, they're not going to be overwhelming, because each of these steps is going to build on the other so that you can eventually reach that goal. And if you really want to reach that goal, then you'll do these smaller steps. And that's the same thing with us as Christians. We need to understand that it's at one step at a time that we draw nearer to the Lord, that we become better as a child of God. If you look in 2 John there in verse 4, in 2 John there in verse 4, John says, "I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth, just as we have received commandment to do from the Father. Now I ask you, lady, not as though I were writing to you a new commandment, but the one which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to His commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves that you do not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward." Note verse 9. "Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son." So as you look here in 2 John, John is saying, you know, our service to God, our life as Christians is a walk. It's a walk in truth. And we got to make sure that we're walking in that path. We talked about this morning in our Bible class, there's two paths that we can go down. There's no alternate to those two. You're either walking in the broad way that leads to destruction, or you're walking the narrow way that leads to eternal life. And that's why John says, if you go too far and you don't abide in that path, which is the teachings of Christ, you don't have the Lord. You don't have God. But those who are walking one step at a time, one foot in front of the other, over and over, striving to stay within that path of the gospel of Jesus Christ, they have both the Father and the Son. And so I want to take just a little bit of time this evening to consider this one step at a time. And understand that, you know, it's not in leaps and bounds that we grow in our service to the Lord, that it's just taking these small steps and increasing. Remember, a little progress is better than none. You might think, what Brother Bruce was talking about, you know, reading the scriptures and such, and two chapters, that might seem a lot, but you break it down into small steps and use those small steps and increase. Reading one verse from the Bible is better than reading zero, right? And so even if you just, all right, I'm gonna read one passage and I'm gonna think about that passage today, you're making progress. You're taking steps. And you're taking steps that will help you to really begin to know the Lord better. You go back to the Old Testament and we read there in the book of Genesis of two individuals that's talked about that they walked with God. Enoch is the first one we read of who walked with God there in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24. It says, "Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him." Why? Because he walked with God. He walked along with God. He didn't suffer physical death because he walked with God. In the next chapter, we read that Noah was one who walked with God, and he was saved from the death that was being brought upon the entirety of humanity because he walked with God. With both of these men, it was a continual walk, one step at a time, following the commandments that God had given them. Note in Genesis chapter 6 and also in Genesis chapter 7 that it says repeatedly there at the end of chapter 6 and there in chapter 7 that thus Noah did according to all that God had commanded him, so he did. That's the idea of walking with God. He took each step that God laid before him and he continued to walk with God and he was saved from that physical death. And it's in a similar fashion that we, if we continually walk with God, if we do the things God has given to us, that we will be saved from spiritual death. Just like in our personal relationships, you know, it requires continually walking together, spending time with one another, truly getting to know each other better. I took Austin up to Florence to see Mom for her birthday, and we stopped there, and it's Starbucks, and it's right there at the mall, and I was looking out as we were sitting there in the line at Starbucks to get some coffee, and I was looking out, I was like, you know, I had the first date I ever had with your mother right there in that mall. We went in, and I got her a peach Julius, and we walked around the mall. In fact, I got my wedding suit, the suit that I wore afterwards, there in that mall, and then later we were driving there, like, I got my tux from this place right over here, and just kind of, these were the moments that led to 26 years later, where we are today. And it all began with that little walk through the mall there in Florence and talking to one another. And then eventually, every time I got off from work, I'd head out to her parents' house and I'd sit out there at about 2 o'clock in the morning or sometimes 5 when her mother would come in and say, you got to get out of here because Mr. Bernie's about to get up. And, you know, just spending time with her, getting to know her, giving more and more time. And you know, there's been some setbacks in those things, but we always move past those setbacks. And the same is true with God. If I really want to get to know Him, I need to walk with Him. I need to spend time with Him. I need to talk to Him. And there are going to be setbacks, times where I'm going to fall. But again, Proverbs 24, verse 16, always make sure you get up. The righteous man falls 7 times, but gets back up. He rises again. Unlike when we're striving for various physical goals where it seems that everything is stacked against us, we can reach a point where it seems that the goal is just impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. This relationship that we desire to have with God, it's possible to have, but we have to be willing to put in the effort. We're never too far gone. Think of the parable of the prodigal son. He was as far gone as you can be, and yet when he came to his senses and he recognized how much things were better in his father's house and he went back, the father's watching for him, and as soon as he sees him, he runs out to him. And so while we might drift away from the Lord in our walk, the moment we desire to come back to Him, God's there with open arms ready to welcome us back in. No matter what we've done, no matter how we've lived, God is willing to cleanse us and make us whole, to put on again the garments of one of His children. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3 expressed that we need to be willing to give up everything just to really know Jesus. In Philippians chapter 3, there in verse 7, he says, whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ and may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul says there's nothing in this world that is of greater value than the value, the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. And he was willing to take every step to get rid of everything that was hindering him in building that relationship. And so I want to encourage you, as you focus on the day, look for ways that you can take steps to get to know the Lord better. And as we get to know the Lord better, the more you get to know someone, oftentimes the more you come to love them. Isn't that the case? Now, that's not always the case. If you knew Jeff and I when we were in high school, we knew each other really well and did not like each other. At least I didn't care for him. I was the younger brother. I was the one that was picked on. I was the one that was mistreated and such. And I didn't really care for him. But the more I've gotten to know him as an adult, I like him. He's all right. He's not a bad fellow. And you know, there were times with Anna that, you know, we were both busy in our lives. And if we're not careful, you know, we can allow that love to begin to wane because we're not really growing in our love for one another. If you'd have told me on, you know, December 14th, 1995, that it was possible to love Anna more than I did then, I'd have thought, no, I love her more than I could ever love her. But 26 years later, I look back at that and I'm like, wow, I really didn't even have an understanding of what love is. I didn't know just exactly what was coming. And the idea of a marriage that will last is one that is a constant endeavor to grow in that relationship. And that's the way that we should be with our love for God. We need to always strive to increase in our love for God. Now, turn over, if you would, to John chapter 21. And there in John chapter 21, here Jesus is, nearing the time for everything to be finished and for him to go back to heaven. And in John chapter 21, there in verse 15, he says they had finished breakfast. Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Now, just would probably come off a little bit puzzled. The idea of, do you love me? Well, if you love me, take care of my sheep. Take care of my lambs. And you know, if we really claim to love God, then we're going to love, we're going to care for one another. That's what we talked about earlier this morning, this reaching out and encouraging one another and helping one another. John writes later in 1 John chapter 4, there in verse 20, he says, "If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen." And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe his commandments. Now think about this. If we want to grow in our love for God, then we need to grow in our love for one another. And I'm going to tell you through my past history, the times where I've gotten closer with my brethren and had a closer relationship, those were the times when I was closer with God. And the times that I looked at and I kind of drifted away from my brethren, or we didn't have that opportunity for that close relationship, and not that we didn't have the opportunity, we weren't making use of the times that we had to be together, that closeness with God was lacking. And so if you want to grow in your love for God, increase in your love for God, then find ways and times to spend with His children. Because you can't love God and not love His children. The more we love His children, the more our love for God will be. We should all be striving for this deeper love for the Lord. That's the definite goal. But there's some steps that we can take in increasing our love for the Lord. And so each day, it provides us with a new opportunity, new reasons to love the Lord. We've been blessed with another day of life. There's another reason to love the Lord. We've been blessed with another opportunity to spend with our loved ones. We've been blessed with another opportunity to come together and to sing songs of praise to God. These all should help us to grow, to increase in our love for the Lord. And lastly, it's just one step at a time to follow closer to the Lord. Austin is severely dyslexic and ADHD and all the other things there, and he gets distracted real easy. And we would go hiking through various places in the Black Hills, and I'd be like, "Look, I need you to stay a little bit closer to me." Or we'd be walking through a parking lot when he was younger, and I need you to stay right here because you're little. I love when I used to say he was little, and I'd always put them on the inside, and I'd walk in outside. I'm like, "I'm bigger, they can see me better, and I need you to stay here close with me when we're walking through this parking lot." Now I'm like, "All right, you get to go on the outside because you're bigger and they can see you better." But I'd always want to have my children close by. And when they were smaller, we'd have them, within arm's reach. We, I think, too many times allow ourselves to become distracted by the things of this world. And we kind of begin to follow at a distance. Isn't that what happened with the apostles when Jesus was arrested? I mean, just think about it. Just the night before they were there, with Jesus, and they were partaking of the Lord's Supper for the first time, and they were listening to all that Jesus had to say, and then they go and they're in the garden, and Jesus is praying, and then the disciples are all gathered together, and this mob comes out, and they arrest Jesus, and everybody scatters. They run. But we read that Peter was following from a distance. Even though Jesus had assured them in the previous days, throughout that week leading up to his crucifixion, he says, look, I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to be buried, and I'll rise again. I'm going to be victorious in this. They really didn't get it. And Peter was at best cautiously following from a distance. And even when it was pointed out, hey, aren't you one of his disciples? Said, no. He was distancing himself even further from the Lord. But then we find them on the day of Pentecost. They are as close as they could be. Now, Peter had some setbacks, didn't he? He wasn't exactly following Christ closely when he was there amongst the Gentiles, and Jews come along, and he's like, okay, I'm not going to sit with them. I'm going to sit over here with the Jews. And Paul had to withstand him to his face. Peter was one that made mistakes, but he kept getting back up and continuing to follow the Lord. As disciples, we must follow the example of Jesus. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, he says, you have been called for this purpose since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. I remember when I was young, we'd go out in the woods with Dad, and you know, he'd be walking along, and I'd try to step in his footprints, especially when we were in the snow. And same thing with Austin. I noticed when we would go out walking and everything, I mean, sometimes we'd be in trails that were a little bit more precarious. I'm like, look, pay attention where I'm stepping, and you step where I'm stepping so that you can be on the right path. And, you know, you want to train them in such a way that they can find the path themselves. And the idea of the teacher and the disciple. The idea of that is that the teacher trains the disciples in such a way that they can continue on in teaching others. That we follow in their steps, and part of that is teaching others. In fact, the Apostle Paul told Timothy, he says, the things that you've heard from me, you instruct others that they can instruct others as well. I told Bruce this morning that one of the responsibilities of a preacher is to preach himself out of a job. To train up the congregation in such a way that they can carry on with the work. That should be our goal as Christians, to try to train others to take our place. But how many of us are following closely to the Lord? That we're living the example that we should for those that are around us. Too many times we find ourselves following at a distance. We may not realize how far behind we've fallen. You know, it's easy to kind of lose track of things. You get kind of caught up in this and caught up in that. Before you know it, you're much further away from the Lord than you thought you were. And so we need to be daily working to remove the imperfections that there is in our life and following the Lord, to be narrowing the distance between us and God's and the Lord's footsteps, and understand it's not a quick process. It's a daily journey, and it's one that we can take one step at a time. Every day, we are blessed with a new opportunity to grow in our service of the Lord. Every day, God expects us to use that opportunity to grow in our love and in our service to God. The question is, are we using the time that God has given us? The time that has passed, we can look back and go, you know, I've wasted a lot of time, and we can get caught up in that, and all that's going to do is drag us down. And God wants us to just focus on today and what we can and should be doing today. And when we wake up tomorrow, if we're blessed to wake up tomorrow, that we look and go, here's another opportunity for me to really give myself in service to the Lord. We can accomplish amazing things if we use the opportunities that God has given us. The Apostle Paul looked at his life as just a time of passing, doing the things that needed to be done so that he could go on and be with God. He says, for to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. He says later in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12, talking about the crown, that he has not quite obtained it already, or has he already become perfect, but he pressed on. He was constantly pressing on, striving to lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. He says, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." We sometimes sing the song, "I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day." It's all in those little steps. And so as you go throughout the week, as you continue in days that the Lord is blessing you, I want you to look in and to find ways that you can increase in your service to the Lord. Increase in your love for the Lord. Increase in your knowledge of Him. Look for ways that you can take, steps that you can take that will help you to become a better child of God. There's not a single person on the face of this earth, no matter how long they've been a Christian, that can't find room for improvement, that can't grow in their service to the Lord. And so let's do what we can to try to become better as children of God, that we walk according to His commandments, and that we allow His Word to guide us in all that we do. If you're here this evening and you need to obey the gospel, we encourage you to make your life right with God. If you need to be restored, if you find that you've been walking away from the Lord, why not come back to Him as we stand and as we sing?
All things are ready. Come for the table now is ready.